As 2019 draws to a close, we thought we'd take a look at the year in film with our longtime friend Ty Burr, film critic of the Boston Globe. Ty, great to speak with you as always every year around this time.
Thank you. Great to be back.
And just give us an overall impression of the year.
Honestly, it was a pretty good year for movies. I mean, both at the blockbuster level, you had, you know, a couple of major franchises coming to an end successfully. And I think also at the level of films made by people, about people, for people. And I really do think that the streaming revolution is at least currently helping filmmaking by bankrolling and by offering money and space for different kinds of voices, different kinds of storytellers. And I think we're seeing the result of that on screens.
You have a list for us, the best of the year. What jumped out at us is that the number one film is not the film about a marriage gone south, which we will talk about and everyone is talking about. The number one film is a film that maybe people haven't even heard of, a French film called Portrait of a Lady on Fire.
Yes, this is a movie that actually premiered at the Cannes Film Festival back in May. I saw it first at the Toronto Film Festival in September. It has gotten a token North American release. It has been in theaters, and it is getting awards from critics groups and stuff, but it won't actually be released to many, many theaters until February of 2020.
Here in the States.
Yeah.
But it's had a huge buzz in 2019, if you were in the know. Just give me a brief thumbnail. Why do you like it?
It is directed by a woman named Céline Sciamma, a French director. Her last movie was Girlhood, which was terrific. It's set in the early 18th century about a woman painter who goes to a distant part of Brittany in France to paint the portrait on commission of a young woman who is engaged to be married to a man she hasn't met.
We have read about 90 articles about this film in the New York Times.
Okay.
I mean, this is the film that, you're right, it's getting a lot of attention.
It is beautiful. It's very stately. It's very austere. And then it blossoms into just amazing sensuality. And I'm not just talking about sex sensuality. I'm talking about just emotional, visual sensuality as the relationship between these two women sort of changes from subterfuge. At first, the painter isn't even telling her subject she's a painter. She's just making friends with her. And then slowly their bond grows. And one of the things I love about the movie is that it kind of works on both the ideal level and the dramatic level equally. It's about women being looked at, but also turning that around and looking.
I cannot wait.
And it is just gorgeous to look at.
Okay, Portrait of a Lady on Fire. Can't wait to see that. But everybody has been flocking to see your number two, Marriage Story.
Yes.
Of course, this is Adam Driver and Scarlett Johansson, a couple whose marriage is falling apart. Let's listen to a scene.
You turned down the residency at the Geffen that would have brought us here for a year.
It wasn't something I wanted. We had a great theater company and a great life where we were.
You call that a great life?
You know what I mean. I don't mean we had a great marriage. I mean life in Brooklyn. Professionally. I don't know. Honestly, I never considered anything different.
Well, that's the problem, isn't it? I mean, I was your wife. You should have considered my happiness, too.
Come on. You were happy. You've just decided you weren't now.
So, Ty Burr, at this point, we have to mention, yes, we know that Adam Driver walked out of an interview with Terry Gross on Fresh Air because of something they played that he didn't want to hear.
His own voice.
We saw him in Burn This on Broadway also, which was another, a character that became very volatile.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about your sense of this film.
Well, the sense of this film for me isn't about his volatility. It's about the averageness of these two people or the relatability. And of course, I say this as an upper middle class white guy in America, which is what Noah Baumbach is and who he's writing about.
That's the writer-director. Yeah.
Yeah. He roots a lot of the stories in aspects of his own life. And he did get divorced from an actress, Jennifer Jason Leigh. But one of the things I love about this movie is that these two people aren't enemies. They are friends who can no longer live together. And it's actually about their attempts to not have it turn toxic, yet there's no way it can't, because this is what happens when two people who have been knit together in life have to pull themselves apart. And the other thing I love about this movie is just the gallery of supporting actors around them. Julie Haggerty, Alan Alda, Ray Liotta, Laura Dern, who's just terrific as a divorce attorney. I've been a fan of Noah Baumbach for years. He's blown hot and cold. But this, to me, is a breakthrough for him in that it really, even though it's about a very particular social class and group of people, it does feel universal.
All right. And by the way, we'll have Ty's list at herenow.org. Third on the list is the Korean film Parasite, but we also want to talk about Knives Out, the story of a family whose patriarch has died. It looks like a clear-cut case of suicide. Then a private detective shows up, and here's a scene with Jamie Lee Curtis as one of the daughters and Daniel Craig as that detective.
Why are you here?
I'm here at the behest of a client.
Who?
I cannot say, but let me assure you this. My presence will be ornamental. You will find me a respectful, quiet, passive observer of the truth.
I just love Daniel Craig in this movie. He is just having so much fun with that foghorn leghorn accent. This is here because it is, you know how people say they don't make them like they used to? Well, here's a movie that is the way they used to make movies that are just absolutely entertaining, brilliantly crafted, lots of fun, smart dialogue, smart performances. It's a murder mystery that sort of riffs on all those Clue, Agatha Christie, you know, Death Trap movies and books that we've read. But it's very smart about it, gives you a mystery, makes sure that it plays fair by the ending, gives you one character to root for and a lot of characters you kind of enjoy not rooting for. And it's just so much fun. So when people ask me, as they are now at this time of year, hey, what do I go see over the holidays? And I know that they may not want to see, you know, a austere French drama or a grueling marriage, you know, story about divorce. Go see Knives Out.
Yeah,
it is just so much fun.
It's just about a potential suicide.
Well, not really.
Yeah,
not
right. Exactly. Okay, so Knives Out is in theaters now, as is another film on your list. It just opened, Greta Gerwig's Little Women, which stars Saoirse Ronan as Jo March, the would-be author and tomboy of Louisa May Alcott's much-loved novel, Little Women. Let's listen to a little of a scene with her.
I just feel like women, they have minds and they have souls as well as just hearts, and they've got ambition and they've got talent as well as just beauty. And I'm so sick of people saying that love is just all a woman is fit for. I'm so sick of it.
So are we, Joe. She was always my favorite. I was a Joe girl. But here you are, a guy.
Yes.
And so?
I can't enjoy this movie?
Yes, you can. How did you?
Honestly, I don't think you can make a bad version of this book. I mean, I love the 1933 version with Katharine Hepburn. I love the 1990s version with Winona Ryder. Greta Gerwig actually takes some interesting chances here. She sort of breaks open the chronology of the narrative and has some flashbacks and flash forwards. She kind of stiffens its spine, and she doesn't modernize it or turn the language into sort of modern feminist language, but she puts sentiments in the mouth of her characters and in the language of her characters that do just emphasize an aspect that's already there in the book in a way that's really smart and really quite emotional. And one of the things I like about this movie, I think Saoirse Ronan is fine. She's great. She's always great. This is the first Little Women I've seen that's almost stolen by its Amy. It was played by Florence Pugh. And Amy is usually played as a spoiled brat, and you kind of hate her. And Gerwig and Pugh have kind of recast her as a character who is a little spoiled and a little bratty, but who matures and who grows into, like her sister, a creative womanhood, but is also stymied in certain ways. Yeah. And Pugh gives a really, really fully felt performance that takes nothing away from Ronan in the lead.
Okay. And by the way, your opinion, is Greta Gerwig getting overlooked in some of the early honors categories?
Yes, I think so.
Okay.
I think
right.
So. And I think it's partly because she's an actress and a well-known face. And I don't think people necessarily trust that as a director unless it's a guy.
Okay. Just want to mention a documentary that came out this summer that you also are noting as one of the best films of 2019. And I remember reading ones about Honeyland. That it actually started as some sort of a government educational film or something.
Right.
But it's spectacular.
And the two women who filmed it went to this rural part of Macedonia, found this woman who's middle-aged, beekeeper, and kind of a natural beekeeper. She finds hives in the sides of mountains, but also has her own little hives that are tumble-down shack. And they started filming her, and then this family moves in next door, and it really becomes a dramatic narrative just unfolding as you're watching. And they stuck around for 3 years and created this movie that—
Because the family doesn't want the bees.
The family doesn't want the bees, but then the dad realizes, hey, she's making money off the bees. I can make money off the bees. But the way he goes about it— says a lot in a very unforced metaphorical way about the way you can live with nature or the way you can use it up. Again, it never overplays its hand. It just dramatizes it in real life through these people.
Okay, another to add to the list. And the whole list will be at herenow.org. Ty Burr has made his picks for the year. We'd love to hear yours as well at hereandnow.org, because we know we left a lot out. And by the way, you have another column, the best films of the entire past decade. Just give us two.
Mad Max Fury Road. Mm-hmm. Maybe one of the best action movies ever made.
Okay.
And Phantom Thread.
Phantom Thread.
The Paul Thomas Anderson movie with Daniel Day-Lewis that is about a very twisted love story that's, in my mind, one of the sneakiest comedies about love ever made.
Okay. Well, so listeners, we'll link you to that column as well, and let's hear your votes. Best films of the entire past 10 years. Let us know herenow.org. Ty, thank you.
Thank you, Robin.